plate a potential nugget.
Tom, moving along, you speak about your experiences with learning drawing and appreciating the art of observing what is without being biased by patterns or objects that we look for. You know, what can we learn about the way artists see the world in the context of being fully present, you know, and just focus on what is rather than preset patterns that our mind might gravitate towards?
Yeah, it's a very good point. And, you know, going into drawing was something I had wanted to pick up for a long time. I dabbled just a tiny bit. Of course, as a child, like many children, I had done a fair bit of drawing and sort of walked away from it. So when I tried to return to it at age my mid-40s, of course, the first drawing I produced was essentially, you know, a frozen in amber, you know, time capsule of the last drawing I had worked on as a child. So my drawing had not progressed at all, but that's just one point I want to make. But the thing, you know, going into drawing, I sort of, in my mind, I thought the whole process was more mystical and more about sort of holding the pencil a certain way and really training your arm to do this certain thing. And when really the whole process, as I began to learn it, was simply about looking at the world in a new way. And what happens is I took this course based on a very famous book called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain by a woman named Betty Edwards. And this is a very famous book that has probably taught more people how to draw in the world than anything. So I took a 1-week seminar here, and the first thing you're asked to do is draw a self-portrait. I mean, within the first 10 minutes, you're asked to draw a self-portrait. Mm-hmm. This is terrifying because I haven't drawn something in a long time. And the results were pretty poor, as you might imagine. But more than just poor, you know, it just didn't look like me, and it didn't really look like a human. And the problem was is that, you know, we sort of, when we try to reproduce a human face on paper, we bring in, as you mentioned, this set of symbols. Like we think we know what eyes look like. We think we know what a mouth looks like. We think we know where the eyes sit in relation to the forehead or the jaw. All these things are based on some sort of internal cognitive calculus that we make that turn out to be wrong when tried to put in a two-dimensional form on paper. So the whole, you know, what drawing really was for me was sort of breaking down those preconceptions and learning to look at what was actually out in front of me in the world. So for example, when we were asked to draw a chair, I had this, for lack of a better word, sense of chairness in my head, the way I thought a chair looked. And when the teacher came over, he was sort of saying, well, your proportions look a bit wrong here. And to my mind, it looked perfect, like the perfect platonic chair, this ideal chair. But when I measured the chair I was trying to draw, I'd gotten it completely wrong. And it was just such a striking moment where how could my own senses fool me to such a, you know, there've been a lot of interesting books about cognitive biases and illusions in psychology, but here it was, you know, sort of brought very close to home to me it really just sort of a slow process of unpacking these conceptions, trying to get them out of your head and look at the world in a new sort of granularity, looking, you know, for the texture of things, not the category of objects that they belong to. And so and by the end of the week, we were asked to make another self-portrait. And the entire class had such an amazing improvement in this regard. It was quite striking to me. We learned quite a bit, and a lot of it didn't really have to do with moving our pencil in any special way. It was just, again, trying to just look at the world in a new way. So I'm not sure what the larger metaphor here is. I mean, I think there's a idea that, you know, we live much of our lives habitually. There's a lot of stuff the brain screens out as we move around in the world because we're trying to, you know, conserve our resources or simply get through the world. But, you know, stopping to take time to look at the way things really are, you know, can be a very instructive exercise, I think. And I'll just say in terms of focus and flow and elements like that, there's nothing I've done in the last decades that I can think of that, that compares to drawing in this regard, that I would lose track of time and 4 or 5 hours would pass. And I would still be sort of deep into this drawing, which wow. I just found in this age of endless distraction and short attention spans, that I found that a very powerful and sort of cleansing exercise.
And what about, and I'm curious, I'm pretty hopeless when it comes to drawing, but I'm curious, what about learning drawing or doing the drawing makes it, makes you lose track of time? Is there anything about it which leads to this kind of a phenomenon?
I would say, just that sense of deep concentration really, once you start to look at the way things really are, and I don't want to sound too grandiose here, but I was looking in the corners of rooms trying to depict a shadow, and then suddenly realizing the shadow itself had 4 or 5 other shadows. And so you begin thinking it's going to be a very short process, but the longer you look, the more there is to see. And that, I think, is where you begin to lose track of time, because you're simply unlocking all these doors and plunging more deeply. And then just, again, being in this state of just perfect flow where you're completely intent on capturing this moment that sort of a different time scale takes over. And I don't think there are many opportunities. There are certain other activities, I'm sure, where these certain states like that can be reached. To me, not having done meditation, I sort of imagined it was what meditation might feel like when practiced at its sort of highest, capabilities. But but it was meditation for me with a purpose, where I had something to, I had a document of that moment that I could sort of leave the room with, which was also very satisfying.
Got it.
Seeing things the way they are and appreciating the nuances is quite an art. This comes through in the way we read a situation and the depth to which we pick up the nuances. One of the earlier guests in the podcast was R. Gopalakrishnan, somebody who's written several books, one of them being How Leaders in New Companies Often Crash, where he's profiled several leaders who were brought in with a lot of fanfare but didn't settle quite well. When I asked him about how leaders should think about efficiency versus effectiveness, he used the metaphor of music and said something similar to what Tom says in the context of drawing.
This is like music. It has multiple layers. And if you're a discriminating person, you can feel the layers. So yours is one such layer. I'm not disputing. It's an obvious one. But I had something different in mind. I have tried this very often in Tata Management Training Centers and other places where I might have given a talk in the past. I will ask the question, do you think a top leader must be more focused on effective or efficiency? And many of the people think they are the same thing. Many of the people think, what's the difference? Then a shootout happens, conversational shootout, where they say, well, at the very least, you must be efficient. If you're not efficient, where's the question of being effective? And then it sort of deteriorates into semantics between efficiency and effectiveness. So in order to get a more clear description of this, I started using a metaphor, which I've alluded to in one of my books. If I put a pot of honey and ask a bee, if I could speak to the bee, to get to the pot of honey, he goes round and round in circles before he alights on the honey. If I ask a human being, he will just get up, turn his head and walk straight. The human being is efficient. The bee is effective. Now, it's to do with the anatomy of the bee, and I don't want to get into that discussion in the interest of time. But the anatomy of the bee doesn't allow him to be efficient. And therefore, he has to go round and round in circles before he alights on the honey, which he desperately wants as much as the human being. Take a second example. Since most of us don't spend our time watching bees getting pots of honey, how does water flow down a mountain's slope? Never in a straight line, unless you are sitting at Niagara Falls, which is not a mountain slope anyway. It goes It takes the contours of the mountain under gravity to find its way down. It is seeking to be effective. Mm. Efficiency demands that the water droplet falls straight down vertically, right? But it will hit obstacles and hurdles. Think of how blood flows in your veins. It's not in a straight line. It's in waves. And that's why when an ECG is taken, if you switch on the monitor, it will go, oh, no, no, if you heard your own ECG. So the law of nature is that things move in spirals and circles and not in straight lines. And to me, that became a very effective way of communicating to people. There's a huge difference between effectiveness and efficiency.
Mm.
And then I found very interesting ramifications, because people in the group would say, you know, that's why our company goes around in circles before taking the decision. And it doesn't matter which company you're talking about. It never takes a decision in a straight line. It goes to that committee, that committee, that committee. It goes around in circles. And then finally, the capital proposal is approved or the acquisition is approved. And that metaphor I'm using to explain your... since I've written some book on this, I could go on and on forever. I shouldn't do that. But there's a huge difference between efficiency and effectiveness. Now, coming back to the question of the board is looking for effectiveness. Not at the expense of efficiency, but if they have to, they would rather err on the side of effectiveness than efficiency. Like COVID is going on now. Of course, I want efficiency. I want costs to be controlled. But I want effectiveness. I don't want dead bodies lying all over the factory or the head office building.
Like Tom says, there are layers and layers in most situations. And the more nuanced we are in the way we read the layers, greater our effectiveness in complex situations.